The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Tomorrow can be bigger. Just grow, let the world overflow. Live a life bigger than yourself. You're created for greatness. Live a life bigger than yourself.
You are listening to the Live Big broadcast with Bishop Derek Greer, the radio ministry of Grace Church in Dumfries, Virginia. We're so glad you joined us, and we pray that you are strengthened and transformed by God's word today. Are you ready? Let's get into the word.
Today's message is for people who've gone through seasons of doubt. People who have faced moments where the gulf between their current reality and where they expected to be at this point in their life got so wide they started to fall in. And we're going to pick up in John chapter 20, verse 24, because one of Jesus' disciples was right there too. John says, now Thomas, not a lot is known about the apostle Thomas. Tradition says that he took the gospel to India and then he died a martyr there. The oldest American to ever live, her name was Sarah Noss, at least on record. She died December 30th, 1999, at 119 years of age and 97 days. And I said that to say that all of us in one way or another are doing time. And none of us can be exactly sure when our release date will be. Kobe Bryant got out in 41 years. Luke Perry, 52. Chadwick Boseman, 43. Matthew Perry, 54. Michael Jackson, 50. Hector Camacho, 50. Tupac, only 25. When it's all over, our greatest regrets will not be the cars we didn't drive, the people we didn't meet, the places we didn't go, but the choices we didn't make for the one who lent us our lives in the first place. Now, Thomas called the twin. Some speculate that Thomas was actually Matthew's brother because they're always listed together in the Bible. Now, we know for a fact that Peter and Andrew were brothers. We know that James and John were brothers. And if it were so that Matthew and Thomas were brothers, it would mean that half of the disciples served God with their families. Now, this would not surprise me because God does not desire to save any of us in isolation. He reaches you intending you to reach back and grab the others. Now, Thomas called the twin one of the 12. Now, we all know our Bibles well enough to know that when Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss and the soldiers arrested him, all of the disciples scattered except Judas. But then we find in the Bible that they all came back together to watch the crucifixion from a distance. But only John had the courage to stay at the foot of the cross with Mary. And may we all have the courage of John. They all thought and had been trained. They'd watched his miracles and his life. And they thought that Jesus was the Messiah. But after the crucifixion, they began to think, how could a dead man bring everlasting peace? How could a dead man bring justice to our world? Has anyone ever experienced a disappointment so devastating, so heartbreaking, so faith-shattering, that all you could do after it was over is relate to God from a distance? This was the case of all the disciples. They stood away from the cross and they could just kind of see from far away. And particularly, this is where Thomas was. And it says, one of the 12 was not with them when Jesus came. All of them were in incredible pain. But on the Sunday after resurrection, Thomas was the only one who had not returned to church. He was in so much pain, he began to isolate. And Thomas was the only one out of the remaining 11 that missed Christ's appearing. You see, we don't usually miss church because we live far away from the building, but mostly because something happened that made us far away from God. One of the 12 was not with them when Jesus came. You know, we don't all grieve alike. Some longer, some shorter. Some get angry. Some get depressed. Some get confused. But Thomas grieved by becoming absent. And this is really one of the worst ways to grieve. It says, the other disciples therefore said to him, now, he didn't show for church, but the good thing is he didn't go into complete isolation. Others could still reach him. He still allowed others to speak into his life. You see, we can't isolate ourselves and at the same time get upset because there's no one there to help. It takes two to stay connected. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. And what Solomon is talking about is synergy here. When we work together, the whole becomes greater than the sum of its parts. And he continues, for if they fall, and I want to tell you, I don't care how wonderful you are, how great you are, I don't care how long you've been in Christ, everyone at some point is going to fall. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, Lamb of God, see, seeing that he tripped under the weight of the cross, and someone had to come alongside to help him bear it. As perfect as he was, his assignment required help. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. Everyone needs somebody to check up on them. But watch this next verse. He uses a big word, woe, which is akin to cursed. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. There's an African proverb I often say to you, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, we got to go together. And Thomas came back to church. Thomas came back to his faith community. Thomas once again rejoined his brothers and sisters. Verse 20 and 25. The other disciples therefore said, more literally in the Greek, kept on saying, we have seen the Lord. You know, at times, I'm pretty sure Scottie Pippen didn't like Dennis Rodman. I don't know if I always liked Dennis Rodman. Other times, Pippen wasn't happy with Jordan, and Jordan wasn't happy with Pippen. But they had rings to get and a job to do. Never let your pain become larger than your purpose. Listen, as saved as I am, I don't like everything about everybody. But I get over it. Because I have a job to do that's bigger than me, my feelings, and my preferences. Pay attention. So Thomas said to them, and you can hear the anger in his voice. It's almost like he's gritting his teeth. Does anyone other than me at times get angry? Yeah. Thomas said, unless, have you ever been so hurt, so disappointed, that just the thought of getting to the other side, you can't quite imagine, unless I see in his hands, he's so disappointed. I thought he was the Christ. I thought he was the Son of the living God. And he hung on that cross. He let them be. Unless I see in his hands the print of those nails. See, I know we think that we're reasonable and rational people. But the truth is, we are far more emotional than we'll ever admit. You see, we believe what we want to believe, and we don't believe what we don't want to believe. And we don't do this purely based on emotions. I know you're educated and all the rest of the stuff. But often our decisions because we kind of feel a certain way about a thing. And Thomas was asking, how could a loving God let such an evil thing happen to an innocent man? Where was God in the face of such injustice and such suffering? How can I trust God? If he let that happen to him, what might happen to me? And when we look at injustice, we look at suffering, when we look at pain, it's easy to start questioning, God, where are you? Could you really be there? And I want to tell you this morning, I have numerous degrees, but I still don't have all the answers. I just know the one who does. But I do want to add, the thing that has wooed me over the years, particularly when things didn't make sense, is unlike the great pantheon of gods and all the rest, the God I serve does not allow human suffering, but cowardly sit in eternity beyond its reach. Just kind of looking at it as his experience and experiment and kind of messing with us. Instead, he became one of us and then endured the worst of us. Then got back up in 3 days to show us the worst day of your life doesn't have to be the last day of your life. Pay attention to what I'm saying. As bad as it was on Friday, if you hang on in this, Sunday is on the way. And sometimes you got to go through Friday to get to Sunday. I can't explain it. I don't always understand it. But though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, oh, I wish he just walked me around. But though I walk through the valley, I keep walking with him and walking with him. And Sunday will come if you keep walking. Unless I see in his hands. See, we don't worship an unavailable and indifferent God. But one who is moved with the feelings of our infirmities. Tempted on all points as we are, yet without sin. I serve a God that got holes in his hands, a hole in his side, scars in his head. He knows what life is like. Unless I see in his hands the print of nails. Now, here's the deal, the backstory. Jesus had prophesied over and over and over again that he'd be crucified and on the third day he'd get back up again. Then the other apostles just told Thomas, he said, listen, Thomas, we saw the Lord, he's risen. And then on top of that, five other women, actually a little bit more, had seen him. Mary Magdalene, the woman the Bible calls the other Mary, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, Salome, all of them declared the tomb was empty. But because of his pain, Thomas demanded radical and extreme proof. Because we won't believe what we don't want to believe. And we're like, well, Lord, if you show up in a burning bush like Moses, but God's like, look in the heavens, where do you think them stars came from? Do I really need to show up in a bush? Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger. Now he's mad. And put my finger into the nails. Now, all the Old Testament prophets, again, the teaching of Jesus, the testimony of the other apostles, and the empty tomb was already evidence enough to appeal to conscience and any thinking man. And this may surprise you, but few things come with 100% intellectual certainty. All we really usually get with God is a reasonable confidence that grows with time and relationship. Okay. Can anyone in this room scientifically prove that George Washington was our first president? Were you there? Can anyone scientifically prove that your mother loved you? Can the scientific method prove the moon landing? Yet we are confident. Maybe there's more to life than science. Yes, sir. And Thomas said, not only do I need to put my finger in the hole in his wrist, I need to put my hand in his side, which is pretty gross. Thomas was upset. But he also revealed the truth of his heart in this next statement. Pay attention. He said, I will not believe. Meaning Thomas made a choice. Doubt in the face of evidence is a choice. Yes, sir. Think about all we must ignore to doubt the existence of God. But we still do. You know, the earth just happens to be perfectly sized to sustain complex life. The earth's size and its gravity is so perfectly designed that it holds just a thin layer of mostly nitrogen and oxygen that extends only 50 miles above the earth's surface. If the earth was any smaller, it would be like Mercury and no atmosphere to speak of could exist. If earth was any larger, the atmosphere would be like a swirling storm as it is on Jupiter. Earth is the only known planet equipped with the right mixture of gases to sustain plant life, human life, and animal life. Coincidence? The Earth just happens to be located at just the right distance from the sun. If the earth was just 10% further, we'd all freeze. 10% closer, we'd all burn up. Another coincidence. Our moon just happens to be the perfect size and distance from the earth for its gravitational pull to affect the ocean tides. And without the movement of the ocean, the water would be stagnant and all the fish would die. And not only that, if the tides were not moving and the moon wasn't doing what it did, all the oceans would spill across all the continents. Another coincidence. If gravity was just slightly, I mean almost microscopically, more powerful. The universe would collapse into a ball. If it was slightly less powerful, the universe would fly apart, all the stars, the sun, the moon. As intricately as our world and universe is designed, it only makes sense to consider the idea that an infinite mind must exist somewhere behind it all. We could be here for an hour talking about these things, but do you know the freezing point of water? If it was any different, the planet would be so different. But you know, 32 degrees, it freezes. I don't remember the boiling point. I'm wondering something, somebody said, but whatever it is. Any different, we wouldn't have the polar caps. We wouldn't have the frozen water. Everything would be different. Just a little change. But all of that is put together. Do you know how complicated a single cell is? Do you know how complex the DNA, that not your whole body, just a single cell? I mean, could you imagine for a billion years throwing up, you know, 100 letters and finally them coming down in a precise order? And then something all of a sudden comes out of nothing in the precise order. Can anything ever come from nothing? No. But somehow in our thinking, because life has happened and we've been disappointed, we look up and wonder, is there a God? And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside. According to the Jewish method of counting, this would be the Sunday after the resurrection. And Thomas was with them. Keep showing up even when it hurts. Because if you choose to hang out with winners, you'll eventually become one. And Jesus came, pay attention to what it says. He didn't need a door. The door's being shut. And you could try to lock Jesus out if you want. But he still remembers how to walk through any and every wall that might be put up in our lives. And he stood up in the midst and he said something I wouldn't have said. I mean, after all the smack Thomas had been talking, I'd have some words. But Jesus stood in the midst. He said, peace to you. God ain't mad at you. You know, God's peace is not the calm that comes after the storm. It's the peace he wants to give each of us during the storm. Then Jesus said to Thomas, you see, Thomas didn't know that Jesus was listening. How often have we lived like God's not watching? Like God's not listening. So Jesus is like, okay, big guy, I hear you. Okay. Mm-hmm. He calls his bluff. He said, I hear you. Okay. Reach your finger here. Like you've been saying. And look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it in my side. He's like, you bad. Okay. And he added, don't be unbelieving, but believing. In other words, Thomas, this is a choice. You need to cut it out. Stop letting your emotions overpower your intelligence. Sometimes it takes time for the brain to catch up to what the heart already knows. And Thomas answered, and this is important because Thomas was Jewish. And Jews at this time in history, from the time they were children, the Ten Commandments were ingrained into them. And the second commandment is you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Matter of fact, they wouldn't say Yahweh, Jehovah, however we want to pronounce it. They would say other words because no one wanted to ever misspeak the name of God. So what Thomas is about to say was a huge statement. And Thomas answered him and said to him, watch this, my Lord. You see, when you're in that emotional place, despite where Thomas was, Jesus was willing to reach him where he was. He wasn't just Lord. In that moment, my Lord, Thomas, you're willing to reach me in my doubt, my anger, my frustration. You weren't intimidated. You didn't back up. God, you were able to handle me. And now I call you my Lord, but watch the next. And my God.
This has been Live Big with Derek Greer, the radio broadcast ministry of Grace Church in Dumfries, Virginia. It is our sincere prayer that you are blessed and empowered to live a life bigger than yourself today. If you want to know more about becoming a Christian or want to rededicate your life to Christ, Bishop Greer wants to walk you through a step-by-step guide. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. Visit gracechurchva.org/salvation to find out more. That's all for today. Until next time, live big.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.